want to start off by asking you, what is one of your favorite movies? Now, let me tell you how you define a favorite movie. A favorite movie means no matter how many times you've seen it, and even though you know the lines that are coming next, and you can sit there and say the next line, you still don't mind when somebody says, hey, let's go get it from Blockbuster and let's watch it. You go, yeah, okay. Now, that's one of your favorite movies. What's some of your favorite movies? Somebody just yell one out or whatever. Wait a minute. Let's try that again. We can't all do it once. Somebody over here. What was it? Okay, we're going to try this different way. Raise your hand. We're in school. Okay, yes. Father of the Bride. One or two? One. Yeah, two was terrible. One was good. Okay, yeah. Okay. Monty Python, the Holy Grail. Okay. Have some fans here. How about somebody over here? Yeah. Braveheart. Ew. Okay, well, I saw it. It was just a little gruesome. Yeah, back there. A River Runs Through It. All right, kind of a, you know, yeah, not that didn't do so well. Yeah. I can't hear you. What'd you say? Oh, When Harry Met Sally. Okay. You'd really watch that again? Okay, yeah. What is it? Peaches? Oh, Beaches. Beaches. I didn't see that one. Okay, over here. Anybody over here? No? Y'all don't go to movies. Okay, over here again. Yeah. The Poseidon Adventure. All right, I think you get a thumbs up on that. Yeah. The Sound of Music. Hey, you know, every demographic survey in the world says that people your age are not supposed to like movies like that. What are you doing? All right, you guys defy the odds. Yeah, go ahead. Ben-Hur. You realize most of you people weren't even wet in diapers when Ben-Hur was out? That's true. You know, Ben-Hur came out in the 50s. The late, you know, how many people were... Well, no, we won't even. All right. Yeah, just a couple more. Yeah, go ahead. About Last Night. Oh. You're romantic, aren't you? Yeah. It was funny? Okay. Yeah, okay. Apollo 13. Now, that was a good movie. Yeah. Okay, way in the back. I didn't hear. The Wind and the Lion? I never saw that. Anybody ever see that? Okay. All right. Couple over here. I just feel guilty for you guys. Come on. Yeah. The Dead Poets Society. Yeah, that was a pretty cool movie. Yeah, that was all right. Okay. One or two more and we're done. Chariots of Fire. That's a good... That won an Academy Award, right? Yeah. How many? Four. How can you remember that stuff? All right. You're dying, aren't you? Okay, go ahead. The King and I. Stand up if I see you. This is the man. That's good. That's a showstopper. We got to stop with that. We can't beat that. That's it. Okay, great. Very good. That's good. All right. Well, you know what one of my favorites is? And you knew this is where this was going, didn't you? Yeah, sure. You know what one of my favorites is? You got to know. One of my Dumb and Dumber. Thank you very much. No. Thank you. No, actually, I did like Dumb and Dumber, but that's not what I was thinking of. No, one of my favorites is the Ten Commandments. What do you think? Okay. And I know you like the Ten Commandments. I mean, I know that. Right. And this is Pharaoh, right? Right. But it's true. How could anybody in the world look like Pharaoh but Yul Brynner? I mean, when you get to heaven, whether he's there or not, can you imagine seeing anybody in any form like, you know, if God says this is Pharaoh and he doesn't look like Yul Brynner, it's just not going to seem right, is it? No, I mean, Yul Brynner is Pharaoh and there just ain't no other two ways about it. Well, you know, there's a great scene in that movie. Do you remember the scene when Moses is out in the desert and he comes across the burning bush? Is that an awesome scene? And I want us to look at that passage because it has a lot to do with answering Joan Osborne's question, What if God were one of us? So I want you to take a Bible, and let's open it to Exodus chapter 3. It's page 41 if you're going to use our copy. We've got a copy of the Bible on the back of the seat in front of you. And you can use our copy, and it's page 41, or you can use your own copy. But let's look at this passage here in Exodus chapter 3. It says, verse 1, Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and he was out in Midian. The Midian is out in the Sinai Desert. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, Mount Sinai. And there an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that even though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, well, this doesn't happen every day. And I think I'll go over and kind of check this thing out and see what's happening. So when he went over, the Lord saw that he had gone to look, and God called to him from within the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. And God said, Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Question. Is there any doubt that the person speaking to Moses from the bush was Jehovah God? Any doubt about that? I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, it's pretty clear, huh? Now, I want you to skip down to verse 13. You remember what happens. God says, Well, now, Moses, this is not just, present you with a miracle so you can go back and tell everybody you saw something neat. We're doing something here. And what we're going to do is you're going back to see Yul Brynner, and you're going to deliver the people out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And Moses had a very classic response. His response was, Here I am, send Aaron. I'm not doing this. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? And he had five objections that he gives God. Now, one of them, only one of them do I want to look at, and that's in verse 13. And Moses said to God, Well, look, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me. I saw this bush. You're not going to believe this. It was burning. It wasn't consumed. I heard his voice, and I'm the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, and your grandmother, and your grandfather, and I'm supposed to lead you out. These people are going to look at me like I'm nuts. And they're going to say, Oh, yeah? Well, then what is the name of this God if you saw this God, huh? And what am I supposed to say to him, God? What do I tell him? Verse 14, And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And down through the centuries, the name I am, or in its third person version, he is, which is the name Jehovah or Yahweh, simply means he is. It's just simply the third person of what God called himself, I am. That became a technical name for Almighty God. Every Israelite knew that. Every Hebrew knew that. That was God's personal name. There were lots of gods in the world, so-called, but there was only one I am. You say, okay, got that. Got it? Okay. Now I want you to turn in the New Testament to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and if you're using our copy of the Bible, John chapter 8 is page 757. Page 757. In John chapter 8, Jesus is arguing with the religious leaders of Israel about whether or not he's really God, who he really is. And I want you to see what he says in this chapter. First of all, look at verse 24. He says, if you do not believe, now if you're reading the New International Version, it will say, if you do not believe that I am the one that I claim to be, you will die in your sins. But would you notice, if you're reading the NIV, that the words, the one that I claim to be, have like a little tiny parenthesis around them? The reason for that is that when you read the original language, those words aren't in there. What Jesus literally said was, if you do not believe that I am, you will indeed die in your sins. That's exactly what he said. If you don't believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Skip down to verse 28, same thing. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. Leave out the parenthesis. It's not in the original. You will know that I am and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak just what the Father has taught me. Do you understand what Jesus is claiming here? Do you understand that he is claiming to be the I am that spoke to Moses from the burning bush? One more. Look at the end of the chapter. Verse 51. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, if anybody keeps my word, he will never see death. At this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know you're nuts. Now we know, you know, that you've smoked one too many. Abraham died, the prophets died, and you say if somebody keeps your word, he'll never taste death? Who do you think you are? Are you greater than the prophets? Are you greater than Abraham? Who do you think you are, Jack? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. And even though you don't know him, I know him. And if I said I didn't know him, I'd be a liar like you guys. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham, look at this, rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. And the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old. Abraham lived 2,000 years ago. You've seen Abraham? Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Three times in this chapter, Jesus claims to be the same I am who spoke to Moses out of that burning bush, Jehovah God. And these Jewish people knew exactly what Jesus was claiming to be. How do I know? Look at the next verse, verse 59. And at this, they picked up stones to throw at him. Why? Because the penalty in Israel for blasphemy was to be stoned to death. Why'd they pick up stones? Because this is blasphemy, to claim to be Jehovah God yourself? Man. And they picked up the rocks and they were ready to let him have it. Did Jesus ever claim to be God? We'll have all kinds of college professors and all kinds of scholars who'll say he never claimed to be God. Don't you believe that? He claimed to be I am three times. Look with me in John chapter 10. Flip over a little bit, a page or so. John chapter 10, verse 30. John chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Verse 31. And again the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I've shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of the miracles are you stoning me? Verse 33, we are not stoning you for any of your miracles, they said, but for blasphemy, because you, being a mere man, claim to be what? God. How much clearer can it be, folks? How much clearer can anybody say it? Jesus Christ claimed to be God. And that's why they went for the ammo bag and they went after him again. You know, if depending on what religious group you're listening to, everybody has a different opinion of who Jesus Christ really is, don't they? And gee, if you ask the Mormons, they'll tell you that Jesus was a man just like you and me who worked his way up to being a God. And if you work real hard, you can work your way up to being a God too. If you ask the Jewish people, they'll say Jesus was a man. He was a kind man. He was a great man. Maybe he was even a great prophet. But no more than that. If you ask the Muslims, they will say, well, you know, Jesus was one of the many prophets from God, but Muhammad was the greatest. If you ask the Jehovah's Witnesses, they will say that Jesus was an angel of God, the first created being of the universe. If you ask the Unitarians, they will say, well, Jesus was a nice man who tried to help people, you know, along and tried to be nice to folks. If you ask the Eastern mystics, they would say, well, Jesus is a guru who reached nirvana, who attained enlightenment. If you ask the humanists, they'll say Jesus was a great moral philosopher. And according to Albert Schweitzer and a lot of other scholars, they would even say Jesus as a man, the real man Jesus, never even existed. The whole thing's just a figment of the writers of the Bible's imagination. But none of those things are what Jesus himself claimed to be. He claimed to be Jehovah God. I am the same one who spoke to Moses out of the bush in human flesh. Several years ago, I got up one Saturday morning. I was having coffee and just kind of relaxing, minding my own business, not bothering anybody, not making any enemies, just minding my business. And my wife looked out the front window, and around the cul-de-sac where we live, there were these two people coming. One had a white shirt, another one was a lady. And it was pretty obvious, you know, who they were. We had our friendly, occasional Jehovah's Witness visit coming. And so she came back to me and she said, hey, Lon, somebody's at the door for you. I said, I didn't hear the doorbell. She said, well, they're not there yet, but they're on their way. I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, I think we got a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses coming around to talk to us. And I thought, oh, no, 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 no. God, not on Saturday. Sunday, all right. Tuesday, I'm not home. Send them on Tuesday. Not Saturday. Saturday's my day off. Give me a break, would you? So I was in a pretty lousy mood. And the knock came on the door, bop, 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 bop. And I thought, well, maybe if I don't answer it, they'll go away. Bop, 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 bop. Brenda said, go get the door. I said, why don't you go get the door? She said, you went to seminary, you go get the door. So I went and got the door. All right, here we go. You know, where did da-da-da-da-da, yada, 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 yada. Okay, yada, 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 yada. Yeah, my coffee's getting cold, yada, yada, yada. Would you like some of our literature? Okay, I'd like to see what you guys are passing out. Yeah, sure, give me some literature and let's call it a morning, all right? So they gave me a little bit of literature and then they said, now, we just can't give it to you. We have to ask you for a donation of 10 cents. I said, 10 cents? They said, yeah. I said, well, I'm very sorry, I can't take your literature. And I gave it back to him. The young girl, now it was pretty obvious that the older guy was the trainer and the younger girl was the trainee. And the girl says to me, what are you talking about? You live in a house like this and you don't have a dime? Of course you got a dime. You probably got a dime laying around on the floor somewhere. What do you mean you don't have a dime? And I thought, oh, gosh. So I said, all right, look, here's the deal. I said, I'm a Christian. And every dime I've got belongs to God. And I can't justify taking any of God's money and giving it to a bunch of heretics like you. All right? Well, well, well. So much for a short conversation. She said, heretics? What do you mean? What are you talking about? We are the true witnesses of Jehovah. We are the true servants of God. What are you talking about, heretics? I said, all right, all right, all right. May I ask you one question, and I'll prove my case. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was Jehovah God in the flesh? Absolutely not, she said. Absolutely not. She said he was an angel created by God, but he absolutely was not Jehovah God in the flesh. I said, if I can prove to you that he was, if I can prove to you that he claimed that that's exactly who he was, we all go away. Let me get back to my coffee. She said, yeah, but you can't do it. I said, give me your Bible. So they gave me the green thing. You know the green thing? The RHV. The Revised Heretics Version, you know what I'm saying? So, but I couldn't use John 1:1 because they've changed John 1:1 if you looked at that. But you know what? They haven't figured out to change John chapter 8 yet. I'm glad for that. So I turned her to John chapter 8, both of them, and I walked them through exactly what I just walked you through. And I said, now you know what God said from the burning bush, don't you? What did he claim to be? She said, I am. I said, well, what do you think Jesus means when he says before Abraham was, I am? And why do you think they picked up rocks to throw at him and all this? And I walked her right through what I just walked you through. And she turned to the guy next to her, the older man, and she said, you never showed me this. How come you never showed me this? And then she turned back to me and she said, who are you anyway? I said, well, basically, I'm just a person who believes what Jesus said about himself in the Bible. Folks, don't you ever let anybody tell you that Jesus didn't claim to be Jehovah God. That's exactly what he claimed to be. In fact, he proved it by rising from the dead. Jesus Christ is the one unique being that has ever come into the universe. There will never be another one like him ever, because he was fully man and he was fully God, and he was merged together as fully man and fully God. And I don't know how that worked, and I don't understand how you can do that, and I don't understand how the mechanics went, but I believe it when the Bible says this who is who Jesus Christ is. And like I say, he rose from the dead to prove it. Now there's one more passage I want to show you that's real interesting. It's in Matthew chapter 22. Would you turn there? Matthew chapter 22, and let me see if I got a page number. Yes, 699 for that. Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to prove to you tonight that you're smart enough to be a rabbi if you want to be. If you want to be a rabbi, we'll make you one right after the service. Just come on up and we'll do it. Because you know more than they know. Look at this, the end of chapter 22, verse 41. And while the Pharisees, the rabbis, were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. Now, if you read the beginning of the chapter, they're asking him one question after the other question after the other question, trying to trap him, trying to get him to stumble, and he's answering them all. And when they're all done, he says, wait a minute, guys, wait a minute, just before you go, I got one question for you. All right, here's his question. What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? And without hesitation, they replied, the son of David, the descendant of David. They knew from the Bible, and they were correct, that the Messiah was promised to be the descendant of David and to come from his line, and they were absolutely correct. That was the standard stock answer. But Jesus said, all right, verse 43, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls the Messiah Lord? Because he said, Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, the Messiah, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David then calls him Lord, how can he be his son? And no one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, nobody dared ask him any more questions. Thank you very much. Well, you know what? As a result of what we've talked about tonight, you know the answer, don't you? What's the answer? The answer is that Jesus Christ had a dual nature. And that, yes, in the fleshly side of his nature, in the human side of his nature, whose son was he humanly? The son of who? David. But on the other side of his nature, he was God. He was Jehovah wrapped in human flesh. And as God, he not only was David's descendant humanly, but as God, he was David's Lord. Do you know that the rabbis at the time of Jesus were so totally confused about everything the Bible said about the Messiah? Because, you know, you'd read some of it and it would sound like he's a man. And then you'd read some of it and it would sound like he's a supernatural being. And they could not figure out how to put this together. So you know the common theory at the time of Jesus? We know this from the Qumran writings, the Dead Sea Scroll writings. They actually came up with saying, aha, there's got to be two Messiahs. There's got to be one that's the human descendant of David that does all the human stuff, and then there's got to be another one who's some divine creature that does all the supernatural stuff. That's not right, is it? Now, you know the right answer, don't you? There was one person with two what? Natures. So see, you're smarter than the rabbis. Come on up, we'll give you a little beanie, and you can call yourself rabbi. You know more than they do. This is Jesus Christ. Joan Osborne said, what if God were one of us? Joan, you know what God would say to you? God would say to you, I was. I was. And you're missing it. I was one of you, Joan. I lived and I experienced life and I experienced all the trials and all the difficulties and all the challenges of human nature, and I overcame them all by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I died on the cross, and I rose from the dead, and I was one of you. And it's interesting that she says, and if God were one of us, what would be the one question you'd ask him? And in closing tonight, let's think about that for just a second. If you were with God here on the earth, and you could only ask him one question, what would you ask him? Well, I thought about that. You know what question I would ask him? This is what I'd want to know. Hey, Is everything you said in the Bible true? That's what I want to know. Is it all true? Because you see, if it is, I don't need to ask a whole lot more questions. Because he covered just about everything in there. I don't need to ask about how to get to heaven, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to heaven but by me. I don't need to ask about marriage, because he said, and the two shall become one flesh, and what God has put together, don't let any man separate. I don't need to ask about sex, because he's already, we talked about that last week. Get the tape. Trust me, you'll like it. I don't need to ask about how to raise children. He told me how. I don't need to ask about issues of integrity, morality, decency, and ethics. He told me about all of them. I don't need to ask about a lot of things. As long as I can ask one question and get a solid answer, is everything you said in the Bible true? That's what I want to know. And if Jesus were here and you could ask him that, he would say, absolutely. Absolutely. My word is truth. I don't know why Joan Osborne wrote that song. The first time I heard it, I thought I was going to have an accident on the road. I thought, who is this? And where did this come from? And what's this slob deal? I'm not a slob. You know, talk about yourself, lady. I thought, you know, what is motivating this woman? I mean, where does a song like this come out of? I mean, just kind of like whammo, out of the blue. But the more I've listened to it, the more I thought, well, I appreciate her doing that song. I don't know where she's coming from spiritually. I've never met the woman, don't know all that much about her. But you know, I appreciate having primetime radio playing songs that are asking questions that allow us as Christians to give answers. Good answers, godly answers, biblical answers. Thanks, Joan, for asking the question. Thanks for bringing the subject up. Thanks for shoving it right on the radio and driving it to the top of the chart. I appreciate that. And we got the answer. God was one of us. And if you and I will let him, God will be part of our life even as we walk here on the earth today. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ in a real and personal way, I want to challenge you. Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus proved he was God, not only with his miracles, but with his resurrection. And everything he's told us in the Word of God about every subject is totally true. I've staked my eternal destiny on that. And that's what God wants you to do. Jesus said, I'll repeat, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody gets to heaven unless they come by me. And so if you're trying to come some other way, all I can say to you is, unless Jesus is a liar, a fraud, and a fake, you're going down a dead-end road. It's not going anywhere. I don't care what people tell you. It's not going anywhere. I hope you'll think about that. For those of us who know Christ in a real and personal way, man, the fact that Jesus claims to be God and proved it says that the Word of God, the Bible, is a solid compass. It's a solid guideline. It's a solid roadmap for life. That if you and I will follow and obey, God will turn our life into something rich and fulfilling and rewarding and worth living. And he'll keep us out of the ditch that so many other people end up in. And keep us on the road that'll take us directly to him. Joan Osborne, thank you for doing that. Thank you for singing the song. Here's the answer. God was one of us, and he wants your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you loved us enough not to send some angel or some seraph, not to send some heavenly creature, but to come yourself for us, to come yourself and take on human nature, to come yourself and teach us the principles that you taught us in the Word of God, to come yourself and die to pay for our sin. Thank you for coming yourself to be one of us. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be willing to come to grips with the practical ramifications of what that means for our lives, that the Word of God is true, that you are the only way to heaven, and that to every subject in the Bible to which you speak. You're giving us information that will make us successful in life. Help us bring our lives, our attitudes, our words, and our life view into line with the Word of God. Because you who gave it to us are Almighty God. We pray these things in Jesus' name.